Oh, it's the Great Debate.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Right.
Here we are.
Pick up your pants and get into it.
What?
Yeah.
Are you into it?
Mm-hmm.
You got your pants picked
mm-hmm.
up? Davis, your pants?
Pick up your pants and get into it,
you mean
it,
pick them up because they're like on the ground
yeah.
or they're sagging?
Yeah.
Are they sagging?
Uh-huh.
I get it.
All right.
Hey, guys, guess what? Micro debate.
Oh, let's go.
Right. 3 minutes on the clock. Steve Healy taking the pro Olympic themed top submitted by listener Andrew P. It's better to win the bronze medal than the silver medal.
If you win the silver
who
medal.
Who is this? And what side are you taking?
I'm Steve Healy, and I'm taking the pro.
Thank you.
If you win the silver medal, you're haunted for the rest of your life by having come so close. If you win the bronze medal, hey, you made it to the podium. You're there. You're an Olympic medalist. You're up there, and there was no way you were going to win a gold medal. There's two people ahead of you. So you're lucky just to be on the platform. Now, of course, this is like a case-by-case basis. There are times when, like, you know, a bronze medalist should have won the gold or whatever. But, like, if you're going to win one or the other, silver or bronze, take the bronze. You made it to the podium. You can relax. You can wear that thing around. You can be psyched. Olympic medalist, rest of your life. Silver medal is just so crushing. These are competitive athletes who came so close only to come up just a hair short. Much better to win a bronze medal. You're going to sleep better at night.
They still performed better than the bronze medalists. They, by definition, were better than the bronze medalists. Also, like, as you said, or maybe we're getting close to, a lot of times the bronze medalist is, like, basically just as close to the gold medalist as the silver medalist is. Here's another reason why winning the silver is better. A lot of, you're thinking, I think, a little too domestically, if you will, and a lot of athletes are state-sponsored, and oftentimes they're, you know, the reverence, and I think in some cases even their salaries are determined by their performance, and it is basically just plain and simply better for them to win the silver medal than the gold, bronze medal, for many reasons. One, you know, ranging from the adulation of their countrymen to the amount of money that they bring in to, like, if you're in a totalitarian country, you don't have to worry about your head being chopped off. Like, the silver is better than the bronze. It's a kind of a cute argument. It was the premise of a Seinfeld joke like 25 years ago.
Nobody's chopping off the head of a bronze medalist. Your head is safe if you get there. Second place is the first loser.
Yeah,
third place,
the Seinfeld joke. It's not that, like,
third place is the winner of the losers.
But bronze is actually second loser, and it's still better to be the first loser than the second loser. Like, if you're, you know, I believe the bronze medalists are just as haunted, if to the extent that these competitors are haunted at all. I believe that they're just as haunted by the, like, what do you call it, the nearness of their, or how close they were to victory. We're talking about hundredths of a second. In a 100-meter race, you're talking about maybe 2 hundredths of a second between bronze and silver and gold. It's not like the bronze guy is going like, oh, well, I gave it my best, came in third, and the silver guy is going like, I was so close, I almost had it. Also, a lot of these are team events. In fact, most medals are given out to team events, and therefore you're talking
it's very hard to be haunted by individual performance
in a team sport.
The last thing that happens to a team, a lot of, you're so right, I think probably a majority of bronze medalists are on a team. Can I just finish this one point?
Yeah.
And so the last thing that happens to a bronze medalist on a team is that they won a game. The last thing that happens to a silver medalist on a team is that they lost a game to the gold medalist.
Totally wrong. That's only in sports that perform in tournaments. And actually, the truth is that, like, a lot of the team Olympic events are done by, for example, like in gymnastics, it's just a cumulative score. Mm. And also some of them are round robin. Like, for example, the famous 1980 Winter Olympics thing. I believe the Soviet Union won their last game, but still were the silver medalists. So, no. You're right. I mean, it does happen sometimes. Some of them are tournaments.
What's the Seinfeld joke you were alluding to? I actually don't know what that is.
I think it's that, like, the silver doesn't, isn't it just the joke that, like, silver's second place is first loser? Or is that a public domain joke?
I thought that was, like, a thing, like, high school track coaches say.
No fear shirt.
What's that?
No fear shirt.
No fear.
Yeah.
Producer Mark says no fear is. I'm going to quickly look this up while we. Medina, what'd you think?
I suppose that the argument about state-sponsored athletes and their salaries was maybe a winner.
Mm.
I wanted Healy to win.
Me what? Too.
Well, whoa!
That was the only thing.
Is that okay to say?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you want to admit that you're biased.
No, not Healy. Not towards Healy. I was biased towards that take on the top.
It's a cool take.
It was. It's short. Yeah. Again, it's cool. It's clever. Here's Seinfeld's quote. Do you guys want to hear it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the Olympics, blah, blah, blah. I think if I was an Olympic athlete, he's talking specifically about the Olympics. If I was an Olympic athlete, I'd rather come in last than win the silver. If you think about it, if you win the gold, you feel good. If you win the bronze, you think, well, at least I got something. But if you win that silver, it's like, congratulations, you almost won. Of all the losers, you came in first of that group. You're the number one loser. No one lost ahead of you. I'm not giving it the proper... Mm. You know
what you didn't bring up, which I wish you would have, is that silver is better looking and cooler material than bronze. Bronze is kind of junk.
Bronze is junky, I guess.
Yeah, you can get some bronze at the local
hardware store.
But having silver is pretty cool.
Well, I'd say counter argument, if you do win the bronze and you have a bronze medal, you might be able to convince someone that it's a gold medal.
That is a good point. Mm-hmm. In the Olympic Village, you had a couple beers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at this.
You just flash it really quickly.
No, yeah. It's gold, baby. That's gold.
Yeah, it's my medal.
They're doing a dirty gold this year.
Yeah, it's like kind of Rio doing the special dirty gold.
Anyway. Rio, dirty gold. Do you like gold or silver better as a material in your home, in your jewelry?
Silver?
Yeah.
I like silver better.
Keely's smile is like 10 miles wide right now.
Very
you
excited
have a heart
silver.
On for silver.
I like
What's
silver.
Going on?
It's cool. It's shiny and
silver
neat.
Shiny. I used to like silver better. I think I'm coming around to gold.
Oh, okay.
I don't like I either of them, really.
Gold is back in.
If you opened a chest of pirate coins and they were silver, uh-huh. wouldn't that be mm-hmm. more exciting than gold?
What?
No.
What the hell
not.
Are you talking about?
Gold coins. Way more exciting, clearly.
Can you tell instantly that it's gold somehow? Because if you can't.
Because it's gold color.
Well, gold is just worth so much more than silver. I mean, are you in this treasure for the treasure or for the color? Or what's going on?
I just think it would be exciting to open a chest and it's all silver and shiny.
You're like a weird little boy.
The Great Debate brings it out in me.
That's good. Where are we in host? We're chat?
Yeah.
The shallow end of host chat.
We're the shallow end.
We're dipping our toes.
But we have a special little treat for ourselves, possibly for the listeners. We all sent in our 23andMe genetic ancestry.
We did.
Testers.
Have we talked about this on the podcast yet?
We said we were going to do it.
Well, now we've done it.
And we've done it.
We did it.
We spit in a little vial and sent it in.
We got the results back. No one's looked at their results, right?
No one's looked at their results.
Healy, are you sure you haven't peeked at yours?
Hand to God, didn't look.
Davis, it's more likely that you would have peeked than anyone else.
That's fair. I don't believe in God, but hand on anything you want me to swear on. Mm-hmm. I have not clicked
you
the link.
You have to swear on Neutral Milk Hotel's album.
I swear on Neutral Milk Hotel's. I'll swear on my grandfather, anything. I have not clicked the link, and I want to.
Okay, well... What do you think you are?
Well, am I going first?
Yeah.
Are we going? Are we taking turns? Let's or are we turns, just doing it all at the same time?
Oh my God. Look.
When it's Christmas, do you like to open presents all at the same time or take turns?
We take turns in the Healy house.
It's so civilized to take turns.
We could find out, by the way, from this test that it's time for Dave to start celebrating Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that be so
great? We could learn.
I would be so happy. Not because I like Christmas. I actually hate Christmas. But I don't hate Christmas. But
nobody hates Christmas.
I didn't grow up with it, so I don't get it. But to answer your question, I'm basically waiting. I'm assuming that this is just going to be a formality, and it's going to say that I'm 100%... As Ashkenazi Jewish, it's going to say, yep.
It is what you think it is.
I'm most interested in Medina. What is this guy?
I know.
I've always wondered.
Yeah, well, so let's go around. What do we believe? So I believe mine is, I don't know exactly what the breakdown is going to be, but I believe that I'm mostly, I don't know if this will be that finite a breakdown, but Russian maybe a little bit Romanian is my understanding, but for the most part, Eastern European Ashkenazi Jew.
Okay. Damn.
I think that there's going to be some form of either Hispanic / Latino in like a much less than half kind of a proportion, and then a hodgepodge of European.
Cool.
Tribal.
Which side of your family is the European?
My mom, yeah. I feel like has white people.
But has she ever said like French or Scottish?
French, Irish, maybe some German.
Because I've seen a 23andMe breakdown, and for European, they are able to get
pretty specific.
It's not just European. They'll give you like British Isles or French German or
Gaulish,
Finnish. They're able to get pretty good.
If any of us are gay, will it tell us that?
I don't think so. But
is the most likely to be gay?
It's got to be me, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm the most, I don't know.
Metro?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you more me?
You? I guess no, I don't think it's me. I guess I thought maybe Medina just because of like a...
Could be. Sensual.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Just like a little more hedonistic.
You're definitely the least likely. You're the sloppiest to live with a woman.
Agree.
Okay, so are we ready for me?
Yeah, let's do... I'm dying to do this.
I have the email open. Click. View my report. Here we go. Okay, remember my password. I'm pretty nervous. Even though I know it's going to happen,
yeah,
I can't tell you how happy, not necessarily even happy, but just like intrigued I would be if...
Come on, get to the results!
I'm getting there.
Davis.
Okay, ancestry composition, 100% European. Here we go. Oh my God, there's all these...
Ooh.
Oh God.
Ooh.
Okay. Wait. Okay, European.
See it from here.
98.8 Ashkenazi.
Wow.
Just clear as day. And then 1.1% broadly European, which is probably just like genetic junk.
Just 0.1%
trash. Northwestern European.
Hey, at least you're from the Northwest.
Does this settle the debate about whether or not you're Jewish?
No, I mean, I still think I'm not Jewish, but I am genetically 98.8% Jewish.
That's a big number. Is that a bigger number than you thought it would be?
No, I mean, it's hard to know how much of this is just like genetic noise.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, you're 100%.
I think it's safe to say that I'm super Jewish.
Is this going to change anything?
No, I mean, this is what I assumed. Oh, this is good. They give you your Neanderthal ancestry.
Oh, I bet you're the most Neanderthal of us.
Wrong.
Zero Neanderthal?
Fewer. So here's the thing is that I read a little bit about this. There's like a certain... No one is like totally Neanderthal, but there's some of your genetic...
That's my ex-wife.
Okay, so that's great. they just tell you how much, like, relative to other people, you are Neanderthal.
Okay.
I have fewer Neanderthal variants than 93% of the customers.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, that's something.
You're almost all crow.
Is it better to not be Neanderthal?
You're a crow, bro.
Then it tells me all about my haplogroups. I mean... Mm. Then it also has this, like, traits and stuff. Taste and smell. How does it...
You're funny.
Says
you
I'm,
like movies.
This is weird. It says I'm more of a joke guy than a story guy. That can't be true. Well, what can you do? All right.
Heels.
I mean, there's nothing.
I think Dan's up next.
Okay, I'll dig a little deeper.
You're the most exciting. Maybe I should go next.
Yeah, Healy, you should go. Can I
use your laptop?
Yeah. Okay, so Healy is now entering his information. We're going to see what he is. Wait, Healy, as you're getting into this, tell us what your most complete understanding of what your genes, what your, you know, heredity is.
I believe that my dad is Irish and my mom is half Italian, half French Canadian.
Wow, interesting. So you're looking for a half Irish here.
I'd love a hash of Irish. That'd be a win, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm viewing my reports.
Right.
All right, guys. What? I'm 96.9% European.
Okay. Click on that. What? Give us more detail.
I'm taking us there. It looks like, oh, I'm from all over the place.
Mm.
European 2.2% sub-Saharan African.
Hey!
Oh! And 0.8% Middle Eastern and North African.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. This just is
a
amazing.
Touch of spice.
Yeah. So that's something cool. Now, how do I look at some more detail?
If you click on the European thing, it should break that down further.
Composition.
No? Sub-Saharan African. Healy, this is amazing.
Well, that's only 2.2%. That could basically be an error. Yeah, okay, so I'm 65.5% Northwestern European.
Okay.
46.4% British and Irish.
Wow, so that's okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty close to half.
1.4% French and German.
Ooh.
17.1 broadly Northwestern European. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
26.6 Southern European.
Okay, so no, wait, hold on there, because we didn't hear you mention any. Did you think?
No,
you
Italian.
Italian. Yeah.
My grandfather is. He was. He's the first in his family born in America.
Okay.
So I'm 7.6 Italian, 6% Iberian.
Oh,
1.4 Balkan, 0.5% Sardinian.
I don't believe this.
11% broadly Southern European. Ashkenazi Dave, less than 0.1%.
Okay.
Well, congrats.
Broadly European, 4.7%.
That's amazing.
How do I get my Neanderthal
That's a little later. I want to hear more about the... what did you say there was Sub-Saharan African?
What was
the other one, though?
That.
What was the other one?
0.8% Middle Eastern and
Middle
North
Eastern.
African.
Yeah, what about that Middle Eastern?
I'm 2.2% West African, y'all.
That's cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that can't be right.
It can. It is, of course it can.
That's cool.
Does it say more specifically what kind of West African or no?
It just says, no, it's giving me information about West Africa.
That's amazing. You got to go. You
got to
go to your homeland.
I got to go. Yeah.
Go.
You're
go,
right.
Go. Go.
Now... What other reports were you looking at?
I mean, you can look at the...
Wellness?
Yeah, that one's kind of... I mean, hopefully that's boring and it just says you're okay.
I'm likely... Oh, I'm fewer Neanderthal than 79%.
Right, so more than me.
Mm.
Muscle composition, likely sprinter. That's got to be the African talking, right? Sleep movement, likely I mean, typical...
They're also famous for marathoning, so
that's East African, my man.
Mm.
Okay.
This is cool. I'm psyched. What a win.
Yeah, that was cool, man.
That's great. All right.
Way to go.
Do you think there's going to be
exciting.
A way to
very
find out?
Very sexy genetic makeup.
Very sexy.
Thanks, guys.
Like, how deeper can you dig into this sub-Saharan African?
I got to start asking around.
Well, so 2% is, or was it 2.2%?
2.2%.
So that's like roughly 1/48th or something?
Yeah. So maybe like somebody over there in Italy was... Getting in on the action? Who knows?
Wow. But what I'm trying to figure out, what is that? Like roughly a great-great-great-grandparent or something? Could have been half something?
Sounds right.
Oh, man. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Great job, Healy.
Thanks,
congrats. Well done, Healy.
I'm really psyched. I'm really proud.
That's really good. You got to call your fam.
Yeah. I'm going to get in touch with my African roots.
You should apply for more African-American scholarships. And like writing awards,
scholarships.
I wonder how far I could take this.
Well, should we move on to Medina?
Yeah, let's get Medina's. Medina, do you want to have a little friendly wager on who's more African?
Oh, I'm sure that you are now.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I am excited to see if there's any Iberian in there, though. Okay, I'm going to view my reports.
Okay.
Man, this is amazing for you guys.
I'm looking at this on my smartphone.
Isn't that crazy?
It's wild.
You right now on your phone, you're finding out who your ancestors are, where you came from.
Okay, I'm 81.3% European.
Whoa.
Nice, bud.
That's the least European of all of us, right?
I think that's safe to say. Yeah, baby.
15.2% East Asian and Native American.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, wild.
That's huge.
Wow.
1.2% Sub-Saharan African.
Hey.
Okay.
Welcome to the club, bud.
0.6% South Asian.
Wow. Okay.
South Asian. So that's like Indian or
now here's Sri Lankan. Where Pakistan? It gets really exciting. Yeah. 1.7% unassigned.
Oh my God. You're...
But dig on this map, guys. This is everything except for Greenland and
Australia.
The Middle East.
You're crushing a little bit of everything.
You are Australia.
Crushing it, man.
Wow.
Okay, so can
let's
you break
take a look? Yeah, we're going. Let's deep dive into the European. Yeah, 18% British and Irish.
Sure.
Only 3.5% French and German.
Is that a letdown for you?
No, it's fine. I think my grandfather like called himself an Irishman.
Okay.
And maybe was like disappointed to find out late in his life that he wasn't that Irish.
Interesting.
But so I think this number is restoring the idea that he was Irish.
Or at least mostly Irish.
Mostly Irish. Yeah, yeah. 15.2% broadly Northwestern European.
What do we think that means? Like that French, German, or British Isles, any of that?
Yeah, Ireland, it says, Norway, as far east as Finland and as far south as France.
Okay.
These countries rim the North and Baltic Seas.
Hmm. Viking.
They've been connected throughout much of history by those waters.
It's kind of poetic.
It is. Okay, Heels, what was your Iberian number?
Five, right?
Mm. I had some decent Iberians.
15.3% Iberian. Nice. Okay. Which sounds about right.
Okay.
Oh, 0.5% Ashkenazi, bud.
Really?
Yeah. 0.5% in there.
How did that slip in there? Mm,
you know, broadly European. It's going to happen.
I guess so.
Okay, now here's where it gets interesting. 15.2% East Asian and Native American.
Yeah, break that down.
Give me some deets on that.
Native American, 10%. Okay, there's your Latino, Mexican heritage.
So, I see.
Right?
Right.
And then about 1.5% Southeast Asian. The peoples of East Asia and the Americas have shared a genetic history. Their common ancestors left the Near East as early as 80,000 years ago. Sub-Saharan African. 0.5% West African.
Healy, you have anything else interesting going on there?
I'm just reeling with excitement and delight that I'm 2.2% West African.
I don't know. This is weird. Like, is it okay to be that excited about it? Why are you excited? Just because it's something new?
It's new. And, it's exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's cool to be part of that scene. It's not enough that, like, I was told lies about my ancestry, but it's enough that like,
right.
Cool.
Yeah.
I got a little spice in the mm-hmm. stew.
Some spice in the mix.
Damn, I don't know if that's the best way to put it.
Why not? Wait, did you get anything that wasn't Jewish?
What are you doing, man?
Oh, baby.
No, I don't think so.
You know what's a bummer? 98% is a lot.
It doesn't even break it down further than Ashkenazi Jew. It doesn't even say like, from this place, like from this little area.
Keeping it tight.
I think that's pretty neat, though, that you're part of a tribe that goes that cool, far man. Back.
Guys,
hey, no, look I'm on serious. The bright side.
There's Hebrews. Your tribe of the Hebrews.
Yeah.
Going back for
ancient people.
Thousands of years. How'd they keep it together that long?
How did they?
Everybody's coming for them, and they managed to keep it tight.
A tight culture.
I feel like you're ganging up on me.
No!
I feel like this is vaguely anti-Semitic. I'm being genuine right now.
How many other tribes have kept it together for 2,000 years?
I don't know if tribe is the right word.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah. Well, there's actually like 12 tribes within this tribe.
So it's funny that it doesn't break it down into which tribe.
Well, I'm pretty sure we're Kohanes. We're really gonna break it. I think. I don't know. I should call my mom.
Oh, wait. We didn't talk about my Neanderthal ancestry. Yeah.
What do you got?
What do you think the number is?
I think you're like. I think you're pretty. No offense. I think you're gonna be around 50%. 50th percentile.
It's actually 70th percentile.
Ooh.
But more than both of you. Yeah. I buy that.
Yeah.
What does that say about a dude?
You can read a little more about it. It's just like...
Here are some traits of having Neanderthal variants.
Oh, okay.
Straight hair.
Okay.
You got less likely to sneeze after eating dark chocolate.
What?
Is that been a big problem? That's crazy.
Less back hair.
Less back hair? The more Neanderthal you are, the less back hair you have.
It's a Neanderthal variant.
Oh, weird.
I don't have any Neanderthal variants associated with my height. So, guys, what did you guys think of the whole experience?
I'm bummed by how happy Healy is.
It's giddy. I'm delighted.
It's funny. It's something.
It's something.
There's something.
It's a little joke. 2.2%. That's perfect.
Okay.
Something about it is making me uncomfortable.
That's what I think. Because it's the 2.2 African.
Yeah.
I think there's a tiny bit. It makes me a little uncomfortable. I'll put this out there.
Please.
I'll debate this if you want.
Great.
I think it's a little bit racist how happy you are about your 23andMe.
Okay, so you're taking the pro and I'm taking the con.
Okay.
All right.
The topic is there's something racist.
A little racist.
There's something a little racist about how happy Healy is about his 23andMe results.
This is a real minefield. Yeah. I'm taking the pro. The fact that you perked up with such delight, you just said that it's like a little joke that you're part African, and I don't think you would say that necessarily if you had found out that you were 2% Ashkenazi Jew, as an example, or a type of European that you didn't think you were at all, or even, I venture to say, even like East Asian. And I think that there's something about the fact that it's like as far as you can imagine yourself being from, it's like, oh my God, basically you're like laughing at the fact that a tiny part of you is a black person. And I think that's a little racist. You called it a joke.
I don't think it's racist at all. Look, here's a couple facts of the matter. I am super white. I have no U melanin in my skin. I sunburn really easily. I grew up in like the whitest of white homes, white background. The idea that I have some African blood in me, the joy that I have is coming from the idea that this is great. We're part of this whole human tapestry. Even these people who are as different from me as you can are a part of my life. That's what the joy is. That's what I'm celebrating. I agree that I would have been bummed only if I was Ashkenazi Jew and only because it would have made you happy. But East Asian, if I was any other kind of weird thing that I didn't expect to be.
I believe that if you had found out that you were, for some reason, 75% Sub-Saharan African, I don't think you would be laughing.
Well, I would think that the test was messed up because I'm obviously not.
Well, do you think it's so? But okay, your first reaction though to the even being 2% was that like, okay, that's obviously a mistake. You're treating it as if it's like so impossible for you to be 2% African that the idea of you like again here the racist element of it to me is that you it is because it was Sub-Saharan African, right? Yeah. And I think that it's a little bit racist, not hugely, but I think it's a little bit of a racist mentality that makes you go like, ho, isn't that funny that I could be 2% basically black? And I don't think you'd be laughing that way if you found out like, I'm 2% Turkish.
No, if I found out I was we're acknowledging
it's just as different from what you are to be Turkish as it is to be Sub-Saharan African.
That's why it's interesting. Like we are acknowledging some racial differences. It is racial, but it's not racist.
Well, I would say that your attitude about it though had the air of condescension or sort of like I get where you're coming from that you're thinking that it's like, "Oh, what it's so far from what I could possibly be." But I feel like that in and of itself is a racist attitude to say that there's the diametric opposite from what you are as Sub-Saharan African, whereas I think that it's just as opposite to be, for example, Ashkenazi Jew or East Asian or Native American or South American.
I think I would be equally delighted if I were 2% East Asian, 2% South Asian.
I don't think you would have said that it was like a little joke. And
I think
I don't think you would be talking, you would be making the joke about how like, you know, the West African people are the maternal group and that kind of thing. I think that the quote-unquote joke of it relies a little bit on the for lack of a better word, blackness of sub-Saharan Africa. And I think that that is a little bit, I don't think you're, well, actually, I do think you're a racist person to the same extent that I am, which is a little bit subconsciously racist.
I think, let's make a distinction here between, like, there is a difference in skin color and some genetic factors between a person who's Northern European and a person who's from West Africa. And that difference, like, you can acknowledge that difference without being racist, I think. I'm not putting down West African people. I'm delighted to have them be part of my bloodline. I think what's most likely here is that some ancestor of mine in America or Europe was part
even
West
African.
Even
the way you phrase that is interesting. I'm delighted to have them be part of my bloodline. Not I'm delighted to be part of that.
That too. I'm delighted to share with them. I'm delighted to have them be part of my family.
In your heliocentric world.
Oh, you can say that this is very heliocentric. I acknowledge that. That is the way I'm looking at it. But it's not. I don't think it's
part
racist.
Of that.
You're making argument this is racist, so let's define what you mean by racist.
Well, in this context, I believe it means that you are, like, using the African race in a way that you would not, to the extent that being African is a race, which I don't know how accurate that is, it's probably not, but you're using the, like, this small sub-Saharan African genetic component as some sort of, like, treating it in a way, in a sort of condescending way that you would not treat other racial
groups. I don't think
groups.
That's true at all. I think it's really coming from genuine joy that the human tapestry that makes up me, that
true.
I'm a part of, is much richer than I expected.
But both
that's
things
delightful.
Can be
that's
true.
Great news.
Yes, but again, that doesn't mean that you're not treating it with some sort of superiority. And again,
I don't
slight.
Think so at
it's
all.
Slight.
I really don't think so.
I think that to get the quote-unquote joke, you have to have a bit of a mindset that is like, can you believe it, me of all people, a well-educated white man
is
a tiny bit of a sub-Saharan African.
No, 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 no. Well-educated has nothing to do. You're throwing that in there. I'm saying
I am
a pasty-skinned, easily sunburned, white as hell, Catholic
but
New Englander.
I think that I agree that that's part of it.
Yeah.
But I think that you'd be a little... I think that our listeners will agree with me that it goes a little deeper than just the color of your skin. Because I don't think that I don't think that you're only thinking that the difference between you and sub-Saharan African people is like how easily you guys.
I hear what you're saying, but there's also some like cultural, like we would eat spaghetti with ragu tomato sauce on it. We were very culturally white, and so it's also interesting in that element. Like, you know, my house growing up was kind of like uptight and not what we would think of as stereotypically black in terms of being like expressive or like, you know, like the food was less rich and flavorful. I think it's not racist to acknowledge that there are some both physical and cultural differences.
No, I totally agree with you there.
I was very much in one side of the spectrum. Now to learn that I'm more moving to another side of the spectrum is bringing me joy
but
and
you,
delight.
But there was other. You didn't.
I
even,
think
this,
your argument
second.
Is coming from jealousy. Obviously,
I am jealous, but I'm not. But that is not where my argument comes from. I'll make one more point, and we'll call this my closing argument.
Okay.
You also discovered that you were a little bit Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
And you did not treat that with the same level of sort of like, can you believe it-ness that you treated the sub-Saharan African-ness.
Purely just because it's less like unusual for a person who's part Italian to be part Middle Eastern. That's just going
to
happen.
You know? I don't know that that's true at all. It seems to me that I don't know my history that well, but it seems to me like because of migration of the Moors and Northern Africans, and I don't know exactly what Western African or sub-Saharan African means in this context, but my understanding is that like at one time, Northern and Western Africa has migrated pretty deep into Italy and Southern Europe, and and Middle Easterners, I guess at some point the Byzantine Empire did, but it seems equally likely.
I think to be West African is one more degree removed than to be Turkish. You know, it's not that surprising that an Italian person would be part Turkish.
I think there's
but to take it another step,
and Healy, I think there's an element of racism in that.
I don't think so, man. I think it's just some geographic realities.
I think to somehow imply that your otherness with black people, basically black people or African people, is somehow more other than your otherness with Turkish and Middle Eastern people is in and of itself
a little bit racist.
I think that...
That's the end of my statement.
Okay, I'm going to make my closing statement. I think that you're jealous, and it's interesting that you are jealous. I think that I'm having a joy and delight because West African is more different geographically, biologically, skin color-wise, culturally, from what we think of as Northern European white person. So it is more of a distance that I appear to have traveled. The tapestry of my genetic life has become richer and more varied. I think that hopefully this is going to make me less racist in my goings on because I'll feel more commonality with West African people. I'm excited and happy, and I don't see how there's anything racist about that.
The Deans. Whew. That was interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
Very interesting. I'm going with Healy on this one.
Thank you.
I think you kind of have to just to play it safe.
No, come on, Dave. I mean, that sucks. Which I am, of course. He made the better argument. You kind of had one note that you were hitting, and Healy gave me, for a while, only one note also, but then chimed in with the idea, which I've always thought was appropriate to discuss, which is that there are just straight-up cultural differences from the way we're all, you know, raised, especially if we have very, monochromatic ethnic backgrounds. And it's obvious to me that Healy's a white guy.
Yeah, it's funny.
And it's funny. It's... He's one of the whitest dudes I know.
Yeah.
And so...
See, here's the thing. I don't really... I don't know whether or not that I believe that your attitude is a little racist. I think it's possible. But if I were going to chase this argument a little further, I would again say that, it is... I don't think it's factually correct... Or it somehow doesn't ring fair to me or enlightened or something to me to believe that Healy is more different than West African people than he is different than other people who he has no resemblance to.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying?
I do, but I think that you can acknowledge there's some reality of cultural and physical difference without being racist, right?
Yeah, it's a fine line, though.
I don't know, maybe not. If I were purely, totally colorblind and, you know, being West African meant as little to me as being Irish, then maybe that would be something. I would be perhaps more racially sounded, rounded down or something.
But right.
I don't think it's racist to say, look at me, I don't look like a West African guy. It's funny that I am part West African.
I agree with that.
Right?
I basically agree, but I still...
I mean, there's also
a tone issue about the way this came out.
It's totally worth inspecting why I'm so happy about it. I think that's a fair thing to analyze and for me as well to process and think about. If we have any West African listeners, I'd love to hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or just people who... I'd love to hear from people who think Healy's racist, regardless of
where
you're from.
I hope
we
get a ton of email about this episode.
Lay it on me. I can take it.
Hey, please, tweet at us, hashtag racist Healy.
Horrible hashtag to be out there.
Let's maybe not do that hashtag.
Okay.
Racist heels? I just don't want to drag my other family into this.
Right, that's fine.
How do you spell heels?
H-E-E-L-S.
Okay, hashtag racist heels. In defense or on my side of...
I don't know how we could test this or measure this. I wish that there would have been some way to test how racist I was an hour ago and then test it in a little while.
Well, there are ways to do that.
Well, it's too late now because the cat's out of the bag that I'm part African.
But by the way, that is a fantastic idea for an experiment. Is a psychology experiment.
I already feel less racist. I got to be honest with you.
I would just maybe urge you to just slow your roll a little bit and dot. I mean, even just saying that you feel less racist isn't maybe the best thing to say out loud.
Well, we try to be honest here in the Great Debate.
No, it's true. And I think, you know, anyone who's read psychology tests about the way people are sort of subconsciously tested for racist knee-jerk reactions knows that it's just a fact of life.
Well, I do think this is an important thing to discuss, actually, like, not to be corny about this, but I will extend this to current circumstances, which are the election in hand, and I know we're kind of sick of talking about this, but, and I tweeted about this, but, like, I think that Trump is a racist person and xenophobic and misanthropic, and I have this issue with people who are anti-Trump saying, like, that's awful, you can't be like, I'm not racist, that's why I'm not voting for Trump, because I'm not racist and Donald Trump is. I say, I am a little bit racist. I've taken the test. I have subconscious prejudices towards different ethnic groups, and I'm not, and I disagree with everything that guy says as a fellow racist. And I'm serious about that. We have to acknowledge that I saw another person on Twitter, I wish I could remember who this was, but they made what I think was a very interesting observation, which is that to claim that you're colorblind, to claim that you actually, like, don't see people different as, like, I don't see people as what race they are, is in itself a symptom of systematic privilege. You generally don't hear people in the oppressed and minority group saying that they're colorblind.
Right.
Or if they are, they may also be, that may also be symptomatic of, you know, like, sort of idealistic, well, I don't know, I'm not, I lost my train of thought.
Okay, well, do you think, like, trying hard to be colorblind, is that a worthy goal, or should we be honest and be like, there are differences of races? Well,
I think that's a good way of isolating. I think we have to be honest about this. And that, to me, is the importance of, like, that. I think this goes, like, I don't know why, I'm sorry that we're just, like, having basically, like, a lame college section right now, but, like, that to me is why, like, Black Lives Matter is important, because people still don't get the idea that it is different for black people in America. Like, white people, the far right and mainstream right, even their response to Black Lives Matter is going, like, but I believe everyone's equal. We're all created equal, and I don't see you as a black person. I see you as just a human being, and you should have the same rights as I do. And that isn't a healthy attitude. That's like denying what's actually going on.
Well, if everybody truly did have that attitude, wouldn't that be healthy?
Yeah, but that's impossible.
And just not the fact.
And just not the way it is.
It's not how it is.
Yeah, that would be great. Let's go back in time and not have slaves. That's like we can't do that.
My ancestors.
Wow, well,
man.
I mean, I feel like we made the most of that.
Yeah.
You talking about the bronze medal thing?
Yeah, clearly.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm sorry I went on that thing, but
no, I think it was worth talking about.
Cool conversation.
Very cool conversations.
I love you guys.
I love you too, both of you. I do hope that we get a lot of people responding to this. Guys, listeners, come at us with what you think.
And buy a hoodie while you're at it. Buy a Great Debates hoodie while you're at it. Now's the time. Go to their website, greatdebates69.com. Click on the merch link. Show your pride.
If you see somebody wearing a Great Debates hoodie, that's like an invitation to have a really open, honest discussion about race.
About race, and absolutely.
Yeah. You know that's anything. Somebody who's down.
No matter where you are.
Yeah, it's a safe subway. Space. Yeah. The courtroom.
Well, dudes, I enjoyed this episode as per usual. It took me out of my comfort zone.
And that's not a bad thing.
No,
I can't believe we maybe got away with it.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'd love to hear from you. We look forward to seeing you next week. We hope you enjoyed the episode here. And with that, I think we're going to take it out. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.